Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Welcome, Irish fans, to this week's edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show. On today's show, we'll talk with Notre Dame women's soccer midfielder, Sandra Yu. And we'll also visit with Notre Dame cross-country and track and field associate head coach, Matt Sparks. To get you started, here are your hosts, Notre Dame vice president and director of athletics, Jack Swarbrick, and Notre Dame captain and starting linebacker, Joe Schmidt.
I wonder why Swarbrick comes before Schmidt in the introduction.
I don't know.
Age, maybe?
I think we need to switch that up.
Yeah. Vice president?
Yeah.
Vice president? That usually kind of does it.
I don't know. I'm going to talk to some people in here, see if we can get that fixed. Nathan?
You're probably going to be on strike next week.
Yeah, exactly. I'm unionizing with all of my other guests.
Well, good to have you here. Coming off a week that was a little unusual for us, you got some time off during the game.
Yeah, it was still a really competitive game, really until the third quarter. Massachusetts came in here with a great game plan, and they really executed for the better part of the first half. They did, you know, they had a couple drives that really challenged us in some different ways. So hats off to them. They played a great game, but it was good to get out of there for the fourth quarter, get some young guys some reps. It's great to get guys out there on the field and just kind of getting game situations under their belt.
So do you transition to Coach Schmidt at that time? Are you trying to help out?
I try. I do my best. The problem is, especially when you're a young guy, maybe a freshman, a sophomore, and you go into the game, there's so many things going on. You really feel that those 81,000 people all staring at you, and then you really feel, you know, Coach Van Gorder or Coach Stanford or Denbrock staring at you, and then everything else kind of just goes by the wayside. So your technique might be a little bit shaky, and it doesn't really matter what anyone says to you. You don't exactly hear them. So I do as much coaching as possible, but a lot of the time you just kind of have to hope that they figure it out on their own.
Well, give me a little post-game grade on your replacements. You know, we had a couple of young linebackers in there getting a lot of time.
Yeah, I thought they did pretty well. It's always tough to at the end of the game because they're really not playing. You know, you work all week towards a game plan, and you're ready to operate within this, you know, the context of that game plan. And then a lot of the time at the end of the game, they start breaking from whatever you think they were going to do. So you haven't exactly prepared for, like last week they brought in a new quarterback. You know, he was a different player than the first string guy. So you're not exactly ready for whatever he's going to bring to the table. So it's always difficult to come in that situation. I thought the guys that came in did a great job. And we would have, we never like giving up points, either of our groups. So they were upset about that. But for the most part, there were some really good takeaways. And I think some guys had some really really solid learning points that they can take from that game and really just kind of move forward and hopefully be ready for, bigger stages.
Yeah, it was great. We had four freshmen score in the game. So,
yeah.
You know, obviously you like those opportunities to get guys some reps and some times because they're working as hard in practice as everybody else.
Yeah, no, it was really great. I mean, even seeing, CJ Sanders with that huge 50-yard punt return. It was really a changing momentum point in that game. And you look at guys like, Josh Adams and Dexter Williams at running back and the assortment of receivers that came in at the end of the game. It was really great to see, offensively all those guys contributing. And then we had all the guys on defense that came in as well. So it was just really good for us to see guys coming in and making plays.
You know, you mentioned CJ's punt return. I agree. It was such a momentum shift. But special teams generally just had a really great game. I mean, Tyler was flipping the field for us. He's had such a good year punting. I thought Jarrett's play on the fake punt was huge. And Yoon obviously was having a great day. So, Really an outstanding special teams effort.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Coach Booker and Coach Kelly and the rest of the staff have really made a point this offseason and this camp to really focus on special teams, and guys are excited to be on special teams. And I don't think that's the overwhelming majority of opinions throughout the country, but really on our team, we love special teams. We love playing on them, and it's like an honor to be on those rosters. So guys really made a ton of plays. They were running around Jarrett. You know, that was a huge stop on that fourth down. The fake punt attempt, and then you look all across the field and you see guys just always making plays. Tyler Newsom had a tackle on the kickoff inside the 30-yard line, yeah. which is pretty much unheard of. Yeah. So guys really care about these teams and they care about making good results for the rest of the roster.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about our punter kickoff guy making tackles inside the 30.
It was hilarious. You're watching the tape, and Newsom is dang near in phase with the rest of the kickoff team, and he's just like hair on fire, just like, this guy is not returning this ball. So it was really entertaining.
We got to get him on the show. He's one of the more interesting personalities on the team.
Interesting is a great word for Tyler Newsom. We will have to get him in here. It might be a little dangerous, but I think it'll be fun.
So when you don't play all four quarters, do we reduce meal money or anything? What do we do?
You should start taking per diem. I don't know. I shouldn't be giving you options here. I feel like I'm just as hungry after the game. No. We still had our chicken fajita surprise after the game. So we still got to eat, but I don't know if I'm comfortable talking about this.
Sunday meals are pretty good after victories.
Oh my gosh, they are the best. So we call it a victory meal. It's still training table at the Goog, but we kind of all come together. The TV copy of the game from the previous day is playing, so we're kind of watching all the fun plays. From the game, and all the commercials are cut out, and we eat, filet mignon and lobster and crab legs and, whatever else you might think is tasty with a Sunday bar. And I'm not going to get into the other option on Sundays. Fortunately, we haven't had to deal with that this season. We don't.
We just want victory meals.
Yeah, we just want victory meals, but it is fun to win. Everything is better when you win.
So we've gone from one Schmidt appearing in the Showtime series to now the extended clan.
The clan.
We had nephews in this week. So,
I know. They had their Uncle Joe jerseys on and everything. It was pretty cool.
They all got their Actors Equity card now. They're all set to go.
They're part of the group. They were so excited about that. My mom was pretty fired up. It was pretty funny. We've been giving her a hard time, just kind of poking mom for being on the show a little bit. So I think they all did great, and it was fun having those guys around the tailgate for the day.
Yeah, another really entertaining episode. I hope our listeners and viewers got to see it. Especially liked Coach Sheldon. Working with his Inner Hall football team.
Yeah, those guys are so dang competitive about Powder Puff football. You would be shocked. It's like they're playing in the game, and they'll spend like two hours after practice, like drawing up plays, making sure they fit schematically, making sure that they're not working at a competitive disadvantage, which seems to be a popular word or words in coaching. So I think that they're doing a great job with those teams, though, and the girls seem to be having a great time. So
it added some dimension to what you guys do and how integrated you are into the campus, and I thought that was a great element of it. Big week coming up.
Oh yeah.
One of the great environments in college football. What are your thoughts heading down to South Carolina?
I mean, these are the weeks that you lay in bed as a little kid and you dream of. You know, you're going into an extremely hostile environment. They call it Death Valley. You're playing a team that's incredibly talented. You know, they had a great year last year with a lot of those same guys returning. They've had a wonderful start to their year this year. And there's this swirl that's kind of going along with this game. It's been really fun. So, you have an extra bounce in your step and you're really excited to get down there and play. This is really why you play the game. So it's really exciting for me.
In many ways, it feels a lot like the Florida State trip last year.
Yeah.
Does having gone through that help the guys who did it as they head down to Clemson?
You know, I think it does. This team is so much more experienced this year than last. You know, really, I feel like last year we were a little bit of a young team. You know, and especially towards the end of the year, we got even younger with some injuries. So just having those guys with game experience in a very hostile environment, you know, like Tallahassee, is something that you can really draw on for this weekend. So I'm looking forward to, you know, just getting down there and seeing how guys react. You know, every game's different, every environment's different, so it's not the same. But definitely, there was some learning that can be taken from that game and also some other games from last season. So,
other than the flea flicker, we can now expect every team we play against to run.
I know, right? Seriously,
what challenges does Clemson present for you?
Well, they've got guys all over their. So I'm a defensive player, obviously, so I think about their offense as soon as you say challenges. And they've got some really, really talented players. Their quarterback was in the Heisman conversation last year as a freshman. And this year he's just as good, you know, fully recovered from, you know, an ACL injury. They've got a very talented running back, a very solid offensive line, and some very dangerous receivers. So you combine that with a scheme that is challenging in and of itself for a defense, and then it just becomes you know, a very fun game for you as a defensive player. You know, I love the challenge, and that's something we're looking forward to. And you know, I think offensively they've got their hands full as well, and that's why we've been working really hard this week in practice to make sure we're ready for Saturday.
Schematically, are they like anyone else that you?
I think you can draw some comparisons. They do some things that. Maybe we would have seen last year out of maybe a North Carolina team or, you know, some similar things. They're not the same offense, but, you know, maybe a little bit similarity here or there. And there's really, you know, I think that if you look at their coach, their offensive coordinator and who he's worked with, I think then maybe you get a better idea. You know, Chad Morris, I think, was the guy that you worked with as well. So.
You and Hurricane Joaquin may arrive at the same time.
Which is exciting.
It's exciting. It adds a dimension to it. Does it change anything about preparation or what you think about going to the game? Maybe cleat length, but other than that?
Yeah, I mean, luckily for us, Ryan Grooms and Adam Myers and their staff, they're always prepared for whatever we might encounter. Doesn't matter if it's rain, sleet, or snow, or somehow we have a dust bowl down there. They'll be prepared. So we don't really have to worry about it from the player's perspective. And the one thing I always say about forecasts is that they're pretty much always wrong. So I have no idea what the weather is going to be like. And growing up in Southern California, I loved the rain. So if we get to go run around and slip around in the rain for a couple hours on a Saturday night, that sounds like a great time to me.
Weather forecasts and game forecasts are rarely correct.
So. Rarely. Hardly ever.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come right back with our first guest.
The Fighting Irish play here. 89 WLS.
The first guest on this week's show is an athlete who has battled back from injuries her first two seasons at Notre Dame to finally take the field during the regular season for the Irish women's soccer team this fall. Sandra Yu has become a key player in this year's 14th-ranked Irish squad, starting all 10 games at midfield. She has already scored two goals for the Irish this season and picked up her first assist in the big 2-0 win at Michigan State. Sandra also challenges herself in the classroom, where she is a pre-med major. Somehow, Sandra has found the time to spend some time with Jack and Joe today.
It sounded like it was an ordeal to come spend time with us.
This isn't what you want to be doing right now.
Thank you very much.
Also, they completely missed your two-time Gatorade Player of the Year awards in high school, and I needed to make sure that they noted
Thanks, Joe.
And what state was that? Give us a little personal background on hometown and family. And
okay, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Born and raised in Strongsville. I went to private school my whole life. Graduated from Walsh Jesuit High School. I have four older siblings. I'm the baby of five, which I think has contributed a lot to my success, having to keep up with them, always chasing them around. That's about it. I mean, typical life, kind of.
That'll make you competitive.
Yeah,
four older siblings.
It definitely has.
I had two older sisters, two younger. What about you?
I'm three older. Two older sisters, one younger sister, and I don't know. Anyone that says that having sisters is easier than having brothers doesn't understand the struggle, because they're mean. They're nasty.
Yes.
Exactly. They were soccer players too. So.
We get in some fights. Yeah. But for the most part, we all get along.
On the chance my sisters are listening to this, I have to defend them and say, you know, it was a pretty good gig to be the only boy with four sisters.
That's, my brother's the oldest, and there's four younger girls.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a pretty good gig. You know, in the introduction, we talked about the injuries. So 2 years battling that, it must feel great to be out on the pitch and contributing the way you are.
Yeah, it feels amazing to finally be back out there. It took a long time. I don't even know last year if you could consider it an injury. It was more just like the mental process of coming back. So I was completely cleared and healthy, but mentally I just wasn't there yet, and it took some time. But I don't know, with the help of everyone, I was able to get through it and finally get back on the field doing what I love. So it's been really great.
I kind of went through that same process, just kind of really you're almost feeling your way around the field or the pitch in your case, and you don't exactly feel confident. What exactly did you go do? Was it just kind of repetition, or did you go and see somebody about it, or what exactly did you go through to do that?
So to gain my confidence back, basically when you come back from an injury, as you said, your confidence is basically shattered, and it's really hard. And like physically, you're healthy again, but. Yeah, the mental aspect was really hard. So I did get help. I like talked to a bunch of psychologists and met with them and was pretty consistent about it. And eventually I just kind of like clicked, and when spring hit, like I finally started to like believe that I could do it. And like, I don't know, I just went out there and kind of played. I didn't have any fears. Like I kind of just like let it go. At first I was like hesitant, like worried about every mistake you're going to make. But then eventually I just got to the point where I was like, it doesn't matter if I mess up at this point. I just need to try it and have fun again.
I was going to say, it's obviously working, because I, you know, when you talk to girls on the team, it's almost like they respect you in the same category as like Bastian Schweinsteiger of Bayern Munich, which is like the Fußball Gods. It's pretty incredible the respect that your teammates have for you. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see.
Thanks.
Nice try on the accent.
You were really trying to. The Fußball Gods. I think that's what I say. It's like the football god, I think, in German. I'm not sure. I don't know. We're going to have somebody call in with an angry... I know, right? We're going to have somebody call in with an angry complaint about my German accent.
You know, I've gotten to see you guys. The schedule's worked out. I've gotten to see you play quite a bit this year. I love the aggressiveness of the team. I mean, it is a more aggressive version of our team than I've seen in a while. Was that the intention coming into the season?
We definitely have an aggressive mentality. We went through the program, similar to what they did, the exact same thing. They didn't believe us, but we did the exact same drill.
I think you did a little bit more than we did. To be honest.
Like, they're all like, you guys lifted the log back and forth.
Yeah, no, we're
like,
soft. We're soft.
Yeah, we did it. But I think that really helped us, because when we were there, the whole mindset of it was attack, attack, attack. And that was something, we are a team that likes to play pretty soccer, but we have to sometimes get down and dirty and just attack and be aggressive. And I think that is something that we've gotten a lot better at, and just laying it out there.
Yeah, I mean, so you're talking about getting down and dirty. You work in the midfield a lot of the time with Glory Williams, who's in the midfield with you. I feel like she's a really aggressive player.
Yeah.
How does that kind of complement your style? You know, maybe you do like to be a little bit more creative, and you're working together in that kind of yin and yang.
Yeah, it kind of works like that. Like, she kind of can do the dirty work, and then kind of me and Savvy kind of get like the pretty part of it. But, I mean, well, now we have to adjust right now, because I don't know if you've heard, but Glory has a concussion, so she's not with us. Like, she's with us, but she's not playing right now. And so we're adjusting to that. So we've been trying to figure out some midfield stuff right now, but I think we're getting there. Last game was a little rough, but we kind of figured it out. So I think we'll be okay. But her presence will definitely be missed, and she is very aggressive and good at getting down and dirty.
There's no break in this conference. I mean, you obviously had a very big victory against Virginia, and then you faced a tough 1-0 loss against Florida State. They just keep coming. How does that cause you to approach the season? I mean, knowing that it's just one game after another like that.
I think when we look at the fact that we're in the ACC, it's such a good thing. Like, the past weekend we had against Virginia and then Florida State resembles a Final Four. So it was essentially like we just played a Final Four, like a semi and then final. And I think having it in the middle of the season even helped more, because we can see where we are and how we compare, and that we're capable of competing with these best teams in the nation. And the fact that we just have it one game after another just prepares us even more for the postseason, I think. So I guess it's really good that we have this rough season or hard season, I guess, with one of the best schedules in the country.
So you said like it's almost like a Final Four in the middle of the year. How do you, you know, you just said, Jack said, you come right back. You have Miami tomorrow, right? Or is it? Yeah, it's tomorrow. How do you come back, you know, and just stay on, you know, on emotional high? It's got to be so hard to kind of just keep that rolling throughout the season with all tough opponents.
Well, one thing we're trying to work on right now is our consistency, just because we feel like we have been somewhat inconsistent. We obviously played Virginia very well, and we won that game, and then came out pretty flat against Florida State. So I think going throughout the season, we have to just go into each game with the same mindset that we're going to attack and be aggressive and be consistent. So.
A lot of young people contributing on this team. What role have you played in trying to help them integrate into the program?
Well, I kind of feel like a young player out there still. It's kind of my first year back. The other day someone asked me how I was feeling, and I was like, I'm kind of tired. It's kind of my first season ever playing college soccer. It's new to me, and I was just like not used to having to balance so much. Just with, like, the minutes and everything. But I think just being around and knowing the program and everything, that I've been able to help them off the field more so and talk to them about school. And, like, if they're stressed, like, it's okay. Like, everyone is going to go through that time. Like, you'll get through it. Just know that we're here and just use your resources. So I think more so off the field than on. I'm trying to be more of a leader on the field, but I think that'll come with time as I become more confident and whatnot.
Well, off the field, you're incredibly impressive. You know, you're doing you're a pre-med, you know, a pre-med focus. Which road are you taking? Are you anthropology or how are you going? Biology? I know that you can do pre-med, but it's not exactly a major,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, I'm science business right now.
Okay.
So I'm taking all science classes and then I'll take the core business classes eventually.
Okay.
Right now I'm not too sure if I want to go to med school. It's definitely okay. In the back of my mind. That's something I've always wanted to do. PT looks kind of, I don't know, inviting, I guess. I think that would be really cool to work with athletes, obviously. My dad was a doctor. He was a podiatrist, so that is something that I would look forward to doing. And I think that if I did pursue a career in medicine, it would probably be that. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, with your experience, you could be really good at that, I mean, right?
Yeah, yeah. Feet.
Now you've come back from an injury. Yeah, feet.
Yeah, good connection.
I'm trying to make a connection.
You got it.
I'm working. You can see.
I use my feet a lot. You're right.
You can see the cogs turning. It's tough for me. Yeah. Remember, football player hitting the head a lot.
We were looking for you to make a podiatry reference in German.
We were disappointed. I'll work on my German for next time.
That you stayed English with that. So obviously, incredibly busy with soccer and studies at that level. Time for anything else? How do you relax?
I relax a little bit, I guess. Mostly just by myself. I like to just, at the end of the day, just get away and, I don't know, decompress from everything. But I am very studious and kind of gets in the way sometimes. I can get overly stressed and anxious about things. But I do find time to hang out with my friends. And, like, once a week or something, we'll be like, okay, let's all just, like, go, like, get ice cream or something and just talk and, like, no book bags, nothing, like, no. Yeah, just, like, sit there and talk, and, but it is hard to find time, but you end up making it, or just, like, the phone call to home, just a way to disconnect from here for a little bit.
Yeah. You know, what Joe likes to do when he's stressed is listen to John Prine. Are you
I'm a big John Prine guy.
Really?
Big John Prine. Angel from Montgomery. I don't know if you've heard. It's his big song. This is an inside joke. So
I'm shocked that Joe doesn't know who John Prine is. So we're working our way through that.
I wanted to ask you. So I just did the 17 for 17 Segway challenge. I know a friend of mine, Lindsey Brown, started that.
Yes.
You know, a little while back. Can you just give, you know, maybe our listeners a quick brief background on the 17 for 17
okay.
challenge.
So the 17 for 17 is a juggling challenge. And we kicked it off last week. Like you said, Lindsey Brown is the founder of the Segway Project, which is a nonprofit organization that helps raise money and awareness for children or females in developing countries so that they can go to school. Mm. So through sport. So they're using soccer to help these girls gain confidence and, like, believe in themselves and, like, feel like they can go to school and help him raise money for all of that. And so we've been working closely with her, mostly Emily Geyer has. She's been in contact with her, and they came up with this idea to do 17 for 17. So it's similar to the ALS Bucket Challenge, where We're asking people to juggle anything, basically, 17 times, or donate $17 to the Segway Project. So it's kind of that idea, and then we challenge three people and pass it along.
Well, if you want to, if the viewers want to see something entertaining, you can see Deshaun Kaiser, myself, Scott Daly, and Corey Robinson all juggle a football between each other, and you'll have to see how many times we get it. But it's on social media if you want to check it out and challenge us to see if you can get more than 17.
Look forward to seeing it. And there's a great piece on Lindsay in our video library that I encourage people to check out as well. She's done remarkable things committed to those young women. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Good luck for the rest of the season, and go Irish.
Go Irish.
Thanks, go Irish.
We'll be back in a minute.
Johnny B is here. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Chicago's Talk Leader, 89 WLS.
Welcome back to the Jack Swarbrick Show. Our next guest is beginning his second season as Notre Dame's associate head coach for cross country and track and field. Jack Swarbrick was very pleased when he was able to convince Matt Sparks to leave Southern Illinois University, where he remains the school's winningest cross-country coach after leading the cross-country teams to five men's and one women's Missouri Valley Conference titles. Across both cross-country and track and field, Sparks coached 51 MVC event champions, 140 all-MVC performers, 127 MVC scholar-athlete honorees, and 10 NCAA finals qualifiers. Sparks has already had an impact here at Notre Dame, coaching Molly Seidel through a stellar junior season that saw her win the NCAA 10,000-meter championship, while also guiding the women's cross-country team to a fifth-place finish in the ACC championships and an at-large bid to the NCAA championships. We are delighted to welcome Matt Sparks to this week's edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show.
Coach, thanks for being with us. I think I got some credit in that introduction for attracting you here. And in fact, I wish I could take that credit, but you and Coach Turner have a long history. It was sort of a, this was a pact formed long ago, right?
Yeah, we crossed paths briefly. We were both Indiana alums, and he got there about 4 years before I did, but we spent a little time at IU together. But then I had the opportunity to coach at Southern Illinois University. We were in the market for a sprint coach, and knew the successes he had during his time there at IU. So it was just a natural progression for me to really encourage our director of track and field there to bring him down and work with us. So it's kind of, we've kind of flipped the tables here. So I brought him in. I got to mentor him on the college coaching ranks. And then obviously here about 6 or 7 years after I helped him get in the game, he kind of returned the favor and shown me the workings here at Notre Dame.
Well, that's really exciting. I know when you were first hired here, and since then I've done some reading on you. Mm-hmm. I've heard that you're known as really a natural recruiter, and you've done a great job always finding people, you know, for all of your programs to just come and you know, participate. How do you identify a top level runner that's going to continue to mature as they go into college? Because I feel like that's got to be one of the hardest things. It can't just be times, right?
Yeah, it's not just times. It's getting to know them as a person. And I think any coach will tell you they're going to recruit people that are going to fit in well with who they are and what they're about and the connections they're going to make with that individual for those 4 or 5 years. And that's when that recruiting process starts for us in July prior to their senior year, when we can start making those face-to-face contacts and sorting through the different personalities and who's going to mesh not just with you, but then the other kids in your program. Mm. And it takes a little bit of time to for me last year, getting to know the 10 to 15 guys and girls on the team. And then obviously the new high school kids we're recruiting and just the nuances that are Notre Dame and who's going to fit in within that community.
Right.
So it took a little bit of time. The women's transition went pretty smoothly with the group of girls we brought in. And the men, was a smaller group, but we feel confident in who they are and the transition they've made to the new program.
You know, in the track and field program, you guys have such a wide swath of athletes to get ready and manage and work with. And in your case, you're working with male and female distance runners. How do you structure the day? How do you approach practice?
I was honestly thinking about that this morning. I'm one of the few coaches, the track and field staff, I think, is one of the few coaches, maybe swimming crosses over a little bit as well, that actually have both genders there oftentimes at the same time. So what we'll do is we'll have one gender come at 3:30. In my particular group, the women's cross-country team will practice at 3:30, the men at 4 o'clock. And so there are different messages with different teams, so they obviously have the same coach, but the practices, the layout of the practice is similar, but obviously we're We have different missions and goals and objectives within the two programs, so we stagger things. And then when it's time to travel and compete together, it is one of the unique sports that's there at the same time, at the same place. Races are staggered by an hour apart, so the teams are especially close, get to know each other very well because of those things. But it is unique in that regard.
You know, we had Molly in a couple of shows ago. I can't remember. I think it was two ago. Neither of us have memories.
I get hit in the head a lot.
He's old.
He said it. I hope he doesn't take away my per diem at this point. We were talking about that earlier.
It was coming.
But anyway,
we had Molly on and. Uh-huh. And she's saying it was a light week, 95 miles.
Yeah. Right.
But we were both a
little amazed. We almost died right there.
Just thinking about it. The rhythm of a season. Mm-hmm. How do you, for example, we had the Catholic Invitational, and you're selective about which kids run in that. Mm-hmm. You got a big meet this weekend. How do you structure that
thing? My coaching job here is unique. It just, I think, cross country coaching is, or maybe it's just the way I approach it. A lot of people say you got to coach the team. I'm much more the other side, where I'm going to coach the individual, and I've got 12 to 15 women and men, and they're very unique people, and they have unique skill sets as far as. Anna Rohr, our superstar freshman coming in, ran no more than 50 miles a week in high school. Molly's running literally 100-mile weeks right now. And everybody puts those two as, they'd be great training partners, but they're not. They're very different people. So my job is to kind of tinker their training to fit what they're ready to do. And that's, daily conversations, daily meetings, knowing when to push and knowing when to pull back. And since I've been here, the big thing that I've learned is it's more about pulling back, because so many Notre Dame kids are pushing to extremes that they break their body down. And, we're talking about Molly. She's been under the weather the last 3 or 4 days. For her, you talked about 95 miles, and she thought it was a down week. She's going to be about 40 this week, because she was in bed the first 2 weeks, 2 days, and missed class, missed practice, because she was, had the flu and was pretty under the weather. So it's about life skills training, basically, is kind of what I see my job as, sometimes almost more than a coach, because, making sure they're taking care of the details. The other 22 hours of the day, I preach oftentimes about, rest and recovery is also part of your training.
Right. And so this weekend, the Notre Dame Invitational, we've mentioned mm-hmm. a couple times, is coming up.
Yeah.
I know New Mexico is, they're the number one right now, right?
Number one team in the country.
And they're coming in, which is, it's great to have a field like that for an event. How do you decide, How do you decide who to run this week, mm-hmm. this weekend? I know you obviously want to compete heavily with a number one.
Yep.
How do you kind of make that decision?
This is the week we were trying to hoping to roll everybody out and go after them with everything we've got. And then, last week or 2 weeks ago?
We've been getting crushed these last 2 weeks.
And then what happens a week or two after those first exams?
Yeah.
The flu, Anna Rohr's got a sinus infection. So we've got three of our top five that have issues. And so we were hoping to roll it all out there, and we're still, making game day decisions tomorrow to see that everybody's healthy and ready to go. But this is really for us the start of the championship part of our season. The first two meets, the National Catholic, and we ran a small meet at Valparaiso. Almost think of them as more exhibition, giving some of the underclassmen a chance to show how well they improved over throughout the summer. And then from here on forth, we're going with everything we got, whoever's healthy and able to get out there and perform.
So say you win the Notre Dame Invitational this weekend, how does that work for point systems?
Yeah, that's the complicated system here. We've got, starting last weekend, what they do is top two teams in each region. There are 9 regions in cross country. Top two teams in each region automatically qualified to the national meet. That gives you 18. Then there are, 13 at-large berths available to other teams throughout the country from those 9 regions. What they do is they look at the third and fourth place teams from those 9 regions and say, which of these third and fourth place teams have the most wins over those other 18 automatic qualifiers.
Oh, wow.
So that's where, teams from New Mexico, NC State, Penn, Colorado State, Southern Utah are coming into our meet this weekend, trying to get some competition versus teams from other regions.
I got you.
And then we go to Wisconsin in 2 weeks, and I think there's 25 of the top 30 teams in the country that are competing there. And so that's where points are to be had. But ideally, you finish top two in your region, and there's no no system to worry about.
Right.
Yeah.
I was struck by your observation earlier that you see yourself as sort of a life skills coach as much as a running coach, mm-hmm. and that tracks very closely with what Molly was telling us when she was on. Mm-hmm. In a sense, you believe she could be a national champion before she did.
Yeah.
But part of that was she was new to the event. But, you know, part of it was building that confidence. What were your expectations going into that national championship race that turned out so great for Molly?
Yeah. I knew she had the fitness base was there. I knew the talent was there. But the question all along, and I think the biggest question in her mind was can she do it? The confidence aspect. And so, you know, the great thing she had going for her the 4 weeks before that championship was there was not school in session at that point, or she had no classes at that time as the semester had ended, and she had 4 weeks to, one, rest and recover, and two, you know, we just got to spend a lot more time talking about how to be successful and the things she needed to work on going into the conference meet and then the regional meet and then the national meet. And I think through those conversations about you've done this, this, and this, you're ready to do that. And those things just added up and continued to build her confidence to remind her who she was throughout her high school years, where she was the national high school runner of the year, to you're the same person today. You know, plus you've got the fitness behind you for 2 or 3 years of running. And I think for her, it was more of a confidence factor. And for me as well, as we had those conversations, it reminded me the special traits and qualities that she possessed.
Yeah, our listeners have heard this before. I never tire of using it, but I love the fact that we're in this remarkable place as it relates to women's running in the United States. Mm-hmm. We've got Molly Huddle, national champion, American record holder. You've got Molly Seidel, NCAA champion. As you mentioned, Anna Rohr, national high school champion, coming into the program. Yeah. It's a great place for Notre Dame distance running.
Yeah, and I'd heard you mention that a couple of months ago, and I should have put it together before that. It's a great recruiting pitch.
Yeah,
and, like you said, you know, Molly Huddle's an alum, and try to get her back here as often as we can to meet the girls, and then really. Molly Seidel has been a big influence on this great freshman class we've got in here right now. That was, if you ask every one of those girls, they're going to say Notre Dame's great, Coach Sparks is nice, but you know, Molly's the one that really solidified things and made it seem like this is a place that's going to, you know, battle for national championships going forward.
Well, I'm sure we will with your leadership, Coach. We appreciate you taking the time this morning to join us. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Good luck.
We'll
Thanks
be back in a minute.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Notre Dame football is on 89 WLS.
It's time now to wrap things up here on the Jack Swarbrick Show. And to do that, here is your dynamic duo, Jack Swarbrick and Joe Schmidt.
Joe, I was so happy that you brought up the 17 for 17 challenge earlier today. And just as we sort of close out this show, talk a little bit about the role that sort of activity, community service, charitable work plays for the student athletes here at Notre Dame.
Well, I think Notre Dame, you know, kind of self-selects for people that are trying to give back to the community in some way or another. I think, you know, especially on, you know, within the student athlete community, people are passionate about using the platform that, they're given and they're blessed with, you know, to do something good. So whether that's Lindsey Brown with the 17 for 17, you know, or it's people going out in the community doing Habitat for Humanity, you know, I think so. I've done an uplifting athletes venture, trying to raise money for rare diseases. It's just people in each and every sport are passionate about helping people and making the lives of people that are in need better. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to come to Notre Dame. It's one of the things that I'm most proud about being being a graduate of Notre Dame. And it's just, it's something that's really special about this university.
Well, we thank you and your fellow student athletes for all you do to make Notre Dame a better place and the community in which we live a better place. Good luck this weekend in Clemson. I'll be down there rooting you on. We'll see you next week.
Can't wait. Go Irish.
Go Clemson. Irish.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame partners Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame athletics. The Jack Swarbrick Show on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.